chapstick over here.
Oh God. Oh God. Okay, I need everyone to know Liv spilled her coffee, then also has an ailment that's requiring her to have a heating pad under her armpit, but
hot
but
water bottle.
Carrying it like you would, what would you carry like that?
Like you're going to the
a clutch.
Okay, you're the key holder at a retail store, and you have to take the money to the bank.
You're
keeping it very safe under your arm.
I think the way you're holding it is how I used to think you have to hold a clutch.
It's flush with the armpit.
It's flush with the pit, and it's and you'd have to you do have to hold it pretty in tight.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that's happening is oh my gosh, Kate, I'm on a new medication that is making me even more COVID brained than before.
Scary.
You know that family, you do obviously know this, that Family Guy clip where Brian is talking to Stewie
and he's like,
so how are those new meds going? And Stewie goes, yeah, pretty good. And he's really,
that's a pretty good Stewie.
That was shockingly good. And I actually was not going to give myself credit and stop and make a big deal about it, but that was I could get there. Welcome back to 3113. This is a reminder for all of our I'm Maddie Foley, and under her armpit, that sounds like a book, like a YA book. Under her pit is Liv Collect. Liv Collect. And we are here. This is a reminder for all of our longtime listeners. We are going back. We are going down to 2 episodes a month for the foreseeable, the next little bit. Just as we get everything sorted here at Santa's workshop, actually. That's where we are today. I'm an elf. My hands are so cold that they're itchy. Because I just took the dog for a walk, sans gloves. And I've been working overtime. I'm in the iPad section, so I'm assembling data, bits and bytes. Guys, these iPads take a long time to assemble. And
I'm in the fidget spinner section.
Yeah, so Liv is in the fidget spinner section as an elf. And honestly, the departments couldn't be more different. I'm over here, you know, with a tiny screwdriver making an iPad. And Liv and her cohorts are kind of, they're goofing off.
Well, it's kind of, we toss together extra parts.
Yeah.
And make it all into like one cube.
Yeah. A lot of the fidget spinners you guys are making don't spin. Actually, they are just sort of glued together pieces of metal and stuff that you guys found. I don't know if your toys are going to be going out to the kids this year, but but it keeps you busy, and actually that's all we have in this life. And yeah, we're as festive as we can be given the circumstances of and I just gestured at everything.
You got a tree over there?
Oh yeah, hell yeah. We've had this convo before. What are you doing?
Fake tree.
No, well, it's obviously fake.
Yeah.
And then what lights are you putting on? Red, green, blue, or warm lights?
No one does red, green, blue.
What are those 80s lights? What are the 80s lights? The Gremlins lights. It's red, green, blue.
I just call it multicolor.
Multicolor. You doing multicam over at your house?
I don't know, because for the last 5 years, I swear every time I go to take out a string of lights,
mm-hmm.
they never work. And we're just having to buy new ones every year. Honestly, yeah. I do most prefer, I think, a nice warm white light.
Yeah.
But, you know, a nostalgic 80s color is also good. You know which ones I don't stand?
Cold white.
Blue.
Oh, interesting. Sean actually just told me a horrific story about blue lights.
Blue Christmas lights?
Yeah, that goes a little something like this. His grandma, growing up, had a white tree with blue lights.
Oh.
Doesn't that scare you?
Yeah.
Me
not like that.
Sorry for those actually out there who have that. I don't want hate from that community. I am actually scared to speak ill. But
I don't think there is a community. I've never really heard that.
White tree is kind of spooky. White tree is a little bit, well, it's ghost tree. It's like the tree died and its ghost is there. I don't love it. It's
well, you know me. I'm traditionalist. I'm purist. Christmas tree. So it's one thing to go fake tree.
Yeah.
It's a whole other thing to go colored fake tree.
Well, it's it laughs in the face of God, because that's not the color God made.
You're choose. Asking to get smoted.
Imagine I was religious and that was a real belief I had. Keep trees green the way God intended. But anyways, that's the Xmas stuff happening right now. And then the other thing, okay, so I want to off the top thank everyone who listened to us on Spotify. They had their Wrapped and they shared it with us. That is one of the most heartwarming things, just to see anybody listening to this little show at all. It makes me so happy. Someone left a comment saying thanks for all the laughs during a shitty year. And that really resonates with me as somebody who does go to podcasts for a little bit of an escape. So thank you. That's so nice to see that. Yeah, and it's been a shit fucking, well, especially the back end of the year has been absolutely god awful. So yeah, that's my sincere thank you.
I'll just echo that.
Oh, okay.
I just ditto that.
Ditto. Okay, and then I don't have any updates. I think we'll just get right into Xena, but there is one thing I want to say, and then if you have anything, absolutely please bring it to the table. But the first thing I want to say is I saw something that reminded me of you, but it was on an app called Threads that I actually don't think anyone but me uses, and then I think everyone else on there is a robot. But pretty well, the little sort of thread, aka tweet, basically goes like this. One of the most I didn't write it verbatim. Name a more dehumanizing experience than having to chase a ping pong ball. That made me think of you, because we always talk about,
and yeah, I get that, like
not exerting energy after something, well, not, yeah, running for the bus.
It's like it's having a shame around the most innocuous scenarios.
It does evoke shame. Why? That's what I want to get to the bottom of. Why? It is embarrassing. It's the same as like having a tuna fish sandwich in public. Why is that embarrassing? Is it the stink?
Well, that I think is self-explanatory.
Okay,
but like the bus thing, like the running after the bus. Like, okay, I sent you that video that so perfectly encapsulates the
feeling,
demeanor I take, which is like, okay, I see the bus is there. Okay, I am like speeding up my walk enough.
Not to that a run.
I could potentially still catch it, but not enough to alert anyone to me trying to catch it.
Well,
and also still trying to look casual. But then the second it starts to move away, then I am adjusting, but so subtly that no one would be able to tell that I was even intending to get the bus.
Is it that? What is that, though? Like, is it that,
I don't know, maybe like,
because like
the most severe form of insecurities,
but I have like, it too with the streetcar, with the bus. But is it that you're like, you don't want people to know your intention was to catch the bus?
That's part of it.
You missed it, and then you're like, because it's almost like,
well, I don't want to like, get to the doors, it? And then everyone on the bus, and then it leaves, and everyone on the bus is laughing at me.
Well, but is it
that fool? She tried to get on the bus.
Well, I feel like I'm performing more for like passerbyers, like
all of them,
there's something about, I don't want them to know my intention, yes, was to catch that streetcar.
I don't want them to pity me that I didn't make it.
Okay, but why don't we also just run? Oh, it is.
Well, I don't want to be seen running, and that's a whole other thing.
Well, that's also, yeah. When I picture running, I picture you're under 25, you have a backpack because you're a student, and there is a cutoff where it's acceptable. Like,
no, even when I was a teen, I was this way. I was sick like this.
Did I tell you, too, one of the worst things I ever did see was a man, a businessman, briefcase.
Yeah, I know what a businessman is.
Briefcase.
Oh, no. Literal?
Old school.
Okay.
Biking. Briefcases in the front.
Oh, no. Basket, in a basket?
Basically.
Oh, no.
This guy goes ass over tea kettle in the park, like biking through, cuts his face up.
There's no way that guy's still alive.
I think he melted into the ground from shame. But the worst part is, I think the reason that he fell was because he was fiddling with the briefcase, which shouldn't have been, like, the whole thing's wrong.
Don't you text and drive. Don't open briefcase and bike.
Maybe that's it. You made a bad decision and you deserve falling off your bike and everyone passing by cocky. Knows. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And you got put in your place.
He was trying to put
nature.
In the code to his... to his briefcase.
Oh my god, that was like high tech technology when in the 90s when I was a kid. Yeah, I would take my dad's briefcase, sit in my diaper and play with that. Okay, well, I wanted to say that ping pong ball one because that is another one to add to the list, because ping pong balls do be crazy. They do be slippery though. You can't guess where they're gonna go. They're gonna bounce off the walls. And so, you know, not being able to know exactly where the ping pong ball is headed.
Well,
next.
And they're so little, you have to go all the way over, big ass hanging
it's
out.
It's so embarrassing. Do you have anything you want to fill it, everybody in on? All right. Let's dive into Xena. I'm pumped to chat about this.
This is a crazy thing to talk about.
Xena's crazy. So Xena Warrior Princess is a TV show that ran 1995 to 2001. Lucy Lawless was Xena. I have some fun facts about it, but we watched episode one of season one and it's absolutely crazy.
What was your relationship with
this? What was your relation to Xena? I knew of Xena through pop culture mainly. I did not watch it live in the flesh. I think I'd have seen maybe... there might have been a movie a Xena movie, like a made for TV movie that I witnessed a little bit more. But I was, and this I know I'm straight, I was way more into like big muscle, like Hercules guys and like let me back up. This is how I know I'm straight. I was way more into Ninja Turtles and their big ass cool muscles. Like that was the martial arts that sort of I fucked with.
Right.
Was Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers. So that's how I know that I'm hetero, is that I wanted to F the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, because Xena's
very
sort of the what do you call it? Test.
Oh, the litmus test.
Yes. Okay, Xena was a show that would sometimes be on my television.
Yeah, you don't know how
my mom
there.
Would put it on.
Right.
Every once in a while, like, not because she's, you know, a fan, but, like, you know, it's a show that was tolerable if it was on.
Shit was different back then. You but didn't then, have to pick every single thing you watched. Sometimes
no, totally.
Things just showed up.
But it would be one of those shows where if she had it on, I was like, ugh, no. Like, there were certain shows that if she
was
it had
it
on, I actually remember getting, like, so annoyed. Like, Coronation Street was one of those where I'd be like, no, no.
Coronation Street is so divisive. It either causes a stomach ache in kids, or as a kid, it makes you feel so comforted.
Well, it's funny because as an adult, I probably could get into
it. Fuck with
because
it for sure.
I live to watch British everything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, the UK
but
is
as a kid,
it, right
it was like bane of my existence.
Yeah.
And similarly, yeah, I didn't care for Xena.
Something about the aesthetic of Xena, even as a kid, I was
yeah,
a little
disgusting.
Bit like.
You know what it is to me? And there's
mishmash.
No way that this is Canadian, but it feels Canadian.
It absolutely
okay.
100,000
doesn't it feel so Canadian?
Percent.
And you know what? You know what it immediately made me think of? This is in the same category to me as Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, as like a type of show. Another show that I also would be like seething with rage if it was on the television.
That, oh my god!
And like that, those that ilk of TV.
Yeah,
frankly,
okay.
Makes me sick.
It's you know what it is. There's two things about it. Okay, do you remember that? Oh fuck! What is that fucking show? It's puppets in the forest, Woodland Heights or some fucking shit. Summer Heights High, Woodland something. The aesthetic of Xena reminds me of it. One, and I hated that show.
Yeah.
Two, the other thing is there is an aesthetic essence where it feels like we tried to make this giant Game of Thrones style world with Xena, but we fell short.
Oh, so far. So far. It's closer to a high school play
absolutely.
Than it is a Game of Thrones.
The budget wasn't there, and it was
community theater.
Okay, costume and set deck. I okay. know they did their best. I know okay. that they tried so hard, but it's not cutting it, guys. This is not. If I'm the director day one, I go, we're not doing this. We're not doing this show.
Well, if you can't do it,
don't do
don't
it.
Don't even try.
That's what we always
don't
say.
Don't do it.
If you can't do it, don't do
know
it.
Know your limit.
Play
stay
within it.
Within it.
Truly. Because why am I seeing, I mean, culturally inappropriate men in very, you know, very white sort of Scottish descent men in drab that is not appropriate. It just sort of looks like someone
I don't even know
hung a
what's
curtain.
Going on.
Well, like, there's no culture.
Like in this time. And then I, in my notes, I was like, oh,
it's
in,
so
in
confusing.
This time. But then I was like,
what time?
What? Medieval? I don't even
well,
know.
Well, it's like medieval, but then they have
but it's
sort
also
of
like,
Middle Eastern merchant style.
But like, also like Poseidon but, feels like
okay also Poseidon but then also some elements are like kind of like 1800s
Lord of the Rings like, I also at one point was like
yeah Lord of the Rings is close there's two it's anachronistic there's too many time periods being smushed into one general aesthetic and the costumes are just oh my!
Well, like, at one point when I was looking at her,
who's
poop,
wearing a titty top in during that time? Do you know what I mean?
Well, at one point I was looking at her boot, and it looked like she
Winners.
Had a pair of
Chuck Taylors,
black Chuck Taylors on,
totally
with like what do you call it when they make like a fake boot to go
oh my
over
God.
Something?
That's probably what it was.
I swear, I've worn like.
A fake boot cover
a boot apron.
With like a tablecloth over it or something
to like when I was in like Santa Claus parade or something.
Okay, that really gives the same feel as like that those shoes where you can take the high heel off it and then it it's a flat shoe and then you put the high heel back on. Okay, so fun facts about Xena. Xena was supposed to die early. She appeared temporarily in Hercules, the Legendary Journeys, as a temporary villain. The show was filmed in New Zealand, which Thank God, honestly, because...
Honestly, I would have thought, like, Saskatchewan or something.
I was thinking a field in Markham, for sure, at some points. Yeah. Lucy Lawless wasn't the first choice for Xena. It was originally supposed to be someone named Vanessa Angel.
Okay.
Don't know. The show mixes mythologies very freely and liberally. Greek, Roman, Norse, Hindu. Yeah, okay, so that is what...
That's one way to put
it. The iconic Xena battle cry was inspired by traditionally used in Middle Eastern and African cultures. Okay, perfect.
Okay. Good.
The 90s were different. They were different. I'm paying homage.
Like, don't even...
Just don't go there.
Just don't even credit any kind of, source.
I
just
know.
Just be like... We just came up
I don't
with
know.
A yodel for her to do.
Yeah, a yodel is the only appropriate culture that could have come from. Okay,
is it supposed to be a comedy or is it supposed to be serious?
I
legitimately couldn't tell.
I don't know, because I do say the tone is all over the place. Lucy Lawless performed most of her own stunts, which is crazy. And the last one is... The series helped revive interest in strong female action. Okay. And is a precursor to Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So people consider Buffy the Vampire Slayer only got greenlit because Xena existed, which...
Well, if that's true, then thank you.
Thank you.
Because when you were saying I was way more into Ninja Turtles, I was like, well, if we're talking about comps to this, Buffy is like infinitely better.
Have you watched Buffy... The Vampire Slayer, the movie?
No.
It's very different.
Mm.
Sarah Michelle Gellar really brought something to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show, that... God,
why, it's someone else is in the movie?
Yeah, it's a different person.
Oh.
It was originally a movie, and then they adapted it to be a TV show.
Oh.
Yeah, and the movie is very different, very different. But I... Yeah, Sarah Michelle Gellar, lightning in a bottle, truly.
Totally.
This is a weird show.
This started playing, I immediately thought of Canadian Heritage Moments.
Okay, because it's
like,
got
why
the
is
same...
it making me think of that? And then when the credits started playing,
the font.
It's literally exactly the same font. And the same kind of, like,
now I
water in the background rippling and then, like, golden letters.
I hate this. I hate that. That makes my
I
stomach
know.
Hurt.
It's like, you know.
There's a.
Like a time period of Canada.
Golden
and TV.
Papyrus font.
Oh, my God. That I hate so much.
I don't. But here's the thing, though. That,
golden papyrus.
My golden papyrus. My little golden papyrus font years. There is. Yeah, and like Passions doesn't fall into that category, but almost. Like Passions knew it was funny, but like it does still have. There is like. There. Okay. This is the thing. They have the fade out. The slow fade out from a scene and then bring up another scene. And that technique is so painfully 90s, plus the golden papyrus font, plus like, okay, plus it was, you know, whatever that ratio is, because it doesn't fill a widescreen. It fills an old school TV. And there's a weird texture to it. But why does it make me sick? Shouldn't I feel joy about the nostalgia of it? But yet I do feel
no,
sick.
No, there's things that... because there's things from the 90s that do make me feel nostalgic in a positive way.
Right.
But you know what? I gotta say, I think they're pretty much all American.
Do you think the Canadian... Yeah, I know. Do you think the Canadian Heritage Moments... Like, did we expect better quality from them? Is that why it's painful? It's a painful reminder.
It's all of our media.
Right, like, our media, yeah. Even the production company sign-offs at the end of TV
it's
shows.
Like, oh my God, it's like we're like just a small town girl, and then we're looking out at like Hollywood and being like, Well, I want to be there.
Totally. Oh, that's what it is. It's the yearning for bigger, better, flashier.
Yes.
And being stuck with golden papyrus over Lake Ontario. And
it's like, I'm going to reject that culture.
Like Little House on the Prairie.
Little House on the Prairie is in the same book or the same box to me as Xena, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, man.
What was the one that like Sarah Pauly was in? Was it Little House on the
Prairie? Anne of Green Gables?
Maybe Anne of Green... Oh, like all those? God. No.
Yeah, why was Canada...
It actually makes me feel ill.
Why was Canada cosplaying the 1940s so much in the 1990s? Everyone was in a bonnet, I fear.
Totally. You could turn on CBC so at any time, and you're gonna see a girl who's got either a bonnet on or high sock with a long skirt and like a leather shoe.
God, why? And there's always like a fire, a chimney going, and there's smoke coming out of it. There's just an... And maybe that's why I feel sick when I smell Pioneer Village. You know, it's that like smell.
Big Pioneer Village was funding all of the
everything
TV shows.
Everything in the 90s was filmed Pioneer Village style. God, why the hell was that happening? Anyways, so Xena, tonally very weird show. I did ask the same thing. I said, is this a kids show or an adults show? Because we got a lot of stuff to chat about sex wise, but also who is this for? I guess this was back in the day.
Who is this for?
They would just cast a very broad net, and then once they found their audience, they would go, oh, okay,
we'll take who we can get.
If pervs are going to be watching this show, yeah, we'll ramp up the pervness. If kids are going to be watching this show, maybe we'll take the jokes about fucking each other out. I don't know, we'll see how it goes. So we start off, and again, this is very much Canadian Heritage Moment style. Someone's playing the bagpipes, and I want to say very, very taking a lot of liberties with that song. That I don't know if that's how the bagpipes are supposed to sound. It kind of rocked me, socked me, picked me up and dropped me, hearing a note kind of going the way that it did in the show. We have Xena. She shows up. She sees a little kid. She's basically just destroyed a village, I guess. She says to the kid, where are your parents? He goes, Xena killed them. She gives him food, drives off on her horse.
Drives off.
Puts her horse in drive and goes. I say, okay, having bangs, full frontal bangs in this time period.
I literally wrote the exact same thing.
That's the most unbelievable thing.
You're going to tell me this bitch is having fluffy, straight across full frontal bangs in this time?
Perfect.
Again, medieval question mark. No.
Perfect, fluffy.
Because I know firsthand, you got to get those things trimmed every 5 weeks.
Well, I'm picturing her, well, the trimming for sure. I'm picturing her every morning blow drying her bangs straight with like a fucking makeshift medieval blow dryer. That little blonde girl's just like running a thing to generate power for it. And then having to shampoo the front of it so that they don't stick out weird.
She uses dirt as dry shampoo.
Those would be so fucking greasy. You have absolutely no idea. That would be three strands of grease. I also think everyone else in this show would have a damn heart attack because I don't think bangs were feasible.
Bangs are not of that time.
No, not till the 1900s.
And not intentional bangs, at least.
No, bangs are if you had bangs, a luxury you had bangs of the ninth time, of the 20th century.
It's because part of your hair burned off when you were doing something.
If you had bangs at that time, it's because you bowl cut yourself, but fully all the way around. That would be the only way. Or because, yeah, exactly, you got kicked because in the face by a horse and hair doesn't grow
the
there anymore.
Were gnawing it off when you're feeding them in the morning. It wasn't a choice that was made intentionally.
Yeah. Or it was like a embarrassment ritual where like the king took you and chopped the front of your hair off. Yeah. There's no natural conclusion for you to have bangs in that time period. And I think people would
I don't think blunt bangs started showing up until the 60s.
That's what I'm saying. It is a luxury of the modern woman to have bangs, Dr. Phil.
There's so much talk about the Industrial Revolution. There's no talk about the hair revolution.
No one's chatting about it. Nobody's chatting about bangs. Nobody's chatting about dyeing your hair. Nobody's chatting about roots. Nobody's chatting about... God, you know what's fucked to think about? It's medieval times. We're robbed of our ability to sort of stay and look young. And I'm not being hard on myself. I would look 55. If I couldn't get Botox and dye my hair, would look 55. And they would say, it's over for you. She's an old maid. She's like the crazy person. We probably wouldn't
even still be living.
No, we'd be dead. Oh, I'd be long dead. I don't even know why I said that. Speaking of hair, we do have to talk about...
Mohawk, dude.
So Xena rides off, and the next thing she encounters is a group of women being
pillaged.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blank and pillaged.
God, those two words are always together, obviously. Yeah. And they're kind of making plans for having... what do they call them? Girl slaves? Woman slaves? Slave women. Oh, slave women.
What is that word?
Slave girls. That's what they call them.
I think it starts with a C.
Concubines?
Yeah.
They're not, you know, being vague about it. They are kind of saying, like, you will be sex slaves, basically. And one of the guys sort of doling out this punishment has a... Oh, we got dog on... We got dog on the horn. One of the guys sort of doling out this pillaging of this village. It's funny that pillage and village rhyme. Has a mohawk that sort of sets us up for the rest of the episode. I see that mohawk. I go, okay, I know where we're going with the costumes and the hair and makeup. Mm-hmm. I know what's... This thing is... Okay, so I can't even describe it. Imagine I shaved my head because we both have longer hair. Imagine Liv or I shaved our heads to make a mohawk, but didn't cut the mohawk length. So, but it did also stand up on its own.
Oh, I thought he had some sort of structure bolstering it, like a leather something.
Oh, it's troll to his doll head
too.
It's troll doll, but it they have pieces. They had hair. Pieces working on this show. There's like the evil sort of sidekick guy who has like basically take this hair, it's just sticking up and is a mohawk. But then we also have Draco who has a full sort of mechanical piece on his head where when he turns
a widow's peak
and this peak is dipping down to the eyebrow line.
Yeah.
And he is when he turns to the side, it comes off the forehead a little bit. Which,
and again, talk about sickening aesthetics.
Oh, man. Faux hair.
This mohawk dude. Why he from Boston?
Okay, we got to talk about the accents. I flagged that.
He comes out. Everyone's kind of doing... You don't know what they're doing up to this point, but you're like, okay, we're of a different time here.
Well, I guess...
Then this guy comes out of the bushes with his mohawk and he's like, hey Xena, okay, get out of here. This man,
this guy's a pizza parlor owner.
Yeah, he owns a pizza parlor for sure.
I guess the liberty of doing a show where you're blending so much is that this guy's just from Boston. That's his thing. That guy's from medieval time. This guy is English. That one's American. And that guy, hard Boston. And then you go, okay, well, I guess I'll just accept the fact that everyone's going to be speaking with different accents. And there's a lot of white people wearing egregious clothing in this. Okay, I'm pissing. We meet someone named Draco. I say, I had a great joke about a Harry Potter joke, but I forgot it.
I can guess.
It was so good. And then this guy's hairpiece is crazy. He's sort of like getting people to shoot arrows at him to pick who's got the best shot. And then he has a fireside chat with Xena, and they're sort of chatting, chin wagging.
Is there like sexual chemistry or something here?
Yeah. So this is, I would say, pretty close to a porno, minus the sex. One of the
things, that's kind of what the tone is.
That is Xena.
Of this show.
It's
where you're like
every scene. Every
this
scene
could turn into something so different.
Every scene you're going, are they going to F? And am I going to sit through it? Because I might. One of the things he says is, or one of the things Xena says, which I go, oh God, I don't know about this. Obviously, clutch my pearls. She goes, "You picked the wrong woman to get rough with." Huh? Okay, so are we fucking?
Well,
why'd you even put that in? Are we effing or not? Draco's head. His hair coming off his forehead. It's just hovering there. It's really freaking me out. He also has... I have a good joke here. In their conversation, we established that they're sort of lovers to enemies or frenemies. They're definitely not frenemies. They're lovers to enemies. He goes, "Xena, I want to be in love with you or be in battle with you." I go, here's my... He goes, "Those are my only two options, was to be in love with you or to be in battle with you." I go, "Who are you, my ex-boyfriend from high school?" That's a little bit of a comedic joke that I like to write sometimes.
Oh, you do comedic jokes?
Sometimes, yeah.
That's cool.
I sometimes do non-comedic jokes. And that's actually for real too. Okay, so how are you feeling
at this point?
To this
I am definitely saying fourth character is tits.
Yeah, well, fourth and fifth. Yeah,
like much like the city is the fifth character of Sex and the City, tits are the fourth and fifth character of Xena.
It's a hard watch. Like it. I do think in a lot of ways it probably was empowering.
No, it fully has the exact same tone of like a porno where they're doing like a situational thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, when we get to this next town and we meet these like peasants, this peasant town that she goes to.
Yeah.
And also at this point, I'm like, are we supposed to like this bitch? She's so unlikable. Everyone seems to hate her guts. I'm like, what?
You know what, too?
She's a straight up villain and everyone hates her.
Oh,
she's not
totally.
Even a villain with a heart of gold, seemingly.
Totally. I think, yes, get her to save a cat. Save the cat. I think the other thing, too, that's dawning on me is feminism from the 90s is feminism from the 90s actually made me feel better about girl boss era. Because I realized, wow, we did actually come pretty far. If Xena is a feminist icon and we're...
Well, feminist just meant you can do fighting moves.
Feminist in the 90s was, you know, martial arts. You do mixed martial arts.
Some form of martial arts.
Kicking, punching,
but obviously
bad guy,
while still being hot.
But you've got to be fuckable. If you're not, then actually it doesn't matter. If you're just a disgusting woman fighting someone, that's embarrassing. Okay, like, go. But if you're hot doing it, that's feminism. And then 2011 is girl boss CEO business suit. And I went, you know what? We did actually come pretty far between those two time periods, even though CEO girl boss era actually makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, it's actually
BuzzFeed,
worse.
It is worse. I'd rather.
Okay, we get to this town with all these peasants, mm-hmm. and they're a whole other vibe.
Oh,
okay,
God.
Okay, the aesthetic of this group.
Are we talking about her quote unquote hometown?
Maybe. Yeah. I think it is when we get to her hometown.
And then they just have that one.
And we see like a whole crew of them.
Yeah.
First of all, they could be extras at the Santa Claus parade. But second of all, you know what they're giving for me? This is where Judy from The Santa Claus is from.
Totally.
They're so Judy from The Santa Claus.
It's medieval meets Middle Eastern, but they're all white.
No, but meets Santa's yeah, workshop.
Meets curled up.
Meets elves.
Meets elf. It's elfin.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing, too, we've got, I don't know if you noticed this, we've got one man in the booth on ADR.
Oh, did I notice that? Did I notice that? Yeah, I noticed it.
So Xena comes home, and this is after, by the way, she deals with a cyclops that I don't really want to get into.
All I want to say is I hated looking at that guy's face. So fucking sickening.
I have to say, number one, the cyclops eye, it was a really good prosthetic.
It was so good that it was disgusting.
It was absolutely disgusting. Number two, I do not like giants / cyclops.
Especially when they're done bad like this.
No, I don't like it at all. I do not like having the two actors on separate days filming their respected lines. I do not like that.
So the giant is just a regular sized man.
Yeah.
But also the other person is just a regular sized person.
Yeah, no,
person.
I don't like that.
I don't know what movie magic they're using.
Well, I think they just split the screen down the middle. It's not magical. Yeah. It's they used a rock that could also double to look as a boulder, and then a tree that could also double to look like a bigger tree. And it actually made me so fucking sick. And then I was going, I don't like this. This is really Canadian Heritage Moment vibe. This is very Canada.
Yes.
And then he gets pantsed. And he's wearing like Hanes boxers.
I hated that. Again? Ew, is this the beginning of a
porn?
Porno.
And that's okay.
Porno with a giant and a.
And I know for a fucking.
Peasant woman.
I know for a fact because I used to go in this place in Hamilton and I would always get sushi with my friend there and it was beside a fucking porn.
I'm scared
it was
where this is going.
Obviously beside a porn store, like fully an adult.
What, Spencer's?
No, this was like XXX video. And the posters in the window, 7 out of 10 of them were Xena themed. They were either Xena, Hercules, or like Sinbad. Like that was that era of porn. And I think I've probably seen I'm more familiar with the porn version of this type of show than the not porn version. So you're not alone in that. And the other thing is, this man's wearing 2002 Sears brand Hanes underwear, like boxers, when he gets pantsed. And him tripping with his pants down is so. There's something about, like, they make Cyclops as dumb that it's just.
It doesn't feel right.
It's gross to me. Yeah.
No, it doesn't feel right.
It's like exploitative.
Feels like that. No, it feels like that documentary.
They did it in Harry Potter too, and it's the second time I brought up Harry Potter for the last time I did it. But they made the giant.
Do you know the
dumb
documentary I'm talking about?
Which one?
With the caretaker of the guy who uses assistive technology. It's
D-Man.
Not, it doesn't feel right. D-Man.
Give me adults that can consent.
Yes.
Give me a cyclops that can consent.
Give me a cyclops who has the capacity. Who has the legal capacity to be pants.
I don't like so fucked. And then finally his teeth are really gross. That's all. I actually had a paragraph on that cyclops. And then yeah, we get to her hometown and her village hates her because she led a bunch of like an army basically to their death, which is so
okay,
truly
ew,
so
the
funny.
Town, the town name? Tell me you hated the town.
Okay,
name.
I hated everything, brother.
I top to bottom. Everything about this is my worst nightmare, aesthetically, sonically.
The little huts that they live in, like
am Amphipolis. She's from Amphipolis.
It's like, it is, I'm glad I read that fun fact, because it is the mixing of Greek culture with Roman, actually those are pretty close, but with Norse, I guess that's what Lord of Ring, with British, it's too
no,
many
don't bring us
different
into it. It's not
things,
British.
It's too different. I also say, okay, we have this blonde chick who wants to be your sidekick, whatever. Honestly, she's really not my cup of tea.
I know.
And
doesn't her voice sound so familiar to you?
Yeah, she...
She kind of sounded like Alicia Silverstone.
I do wonder if she... I think she was either in something else pivotal for me or voiced something.
I was thinking that too, but didn't care enough to look.
Me neither. I was so tired. I was also getting just angry at this episode being 45 minutes long.
I know. This was a check the clock.
Yeah, this
time.
Oh my God, same.
Okay, the other thing I was going to say was that at some point, all of a sudden, she's got like a headband situation.
Yeah.
I hate this so much, and it's because she suffers from the same ailment that I do when it comes to headband, which is like no volume in the back. So you're just wearing this headband, and it's just like, just like you have no bump it vibe, like helping the back of your head, and it's just flat city.
It is hard.
It's the planes. It's the planes on the top of your head.
Yeah, and obviously we hate when a mirror is
held flat earther on your head.
That was, I think, one of the most harrowing things is there was a picture of me at a party on Facebook in grade 10. And it was the first time I saw the back of my head. And I went, I'm actually really ugly, because I had not showered. So the head, it was, I can't describe the shape, but flat and looked like I was wearing a wig at the same time and greasy. So I went, oh no, that's why I don't have a boyfriend. Okay. I got to fix that. Oh, how far we've come. Okay. One line that's tossed out. We're talking about how this Draco dude's gonna come kill the town. She got an army killed, so people are like, you got my son killed, we're not trusting you. This little sidekick's coming up the rear trying to like hang with her or whatever. It's embarrassing, honestly. And one of the,
and she's also like not girl's girl.
No,
Xena is not girl's girl.
No, she helps the girl up onto the horse. That was, I think, the nicest thing she did this entire episode.
Again, not likable at all.
No, but you know what though? Are we the bad people for saying that? We're doing what the media did to Anne Hathaway, and who else?
Katherine Heigl.
We're the media to Katherine Heigl. As
well, sorry, but in this case it's warranted.
No, they set women up to fail, honestly, top to bottom. We have a line where the blonde friend goes, she'd never let a man get close enough to do her. Well, not that kind of do her. Okay. So again, I'm going, if I have my child, who obviously I'm a mom, so obviously I can speak to this. If I have my child in the room, I'm going earmuffs, kids. And eyemuffs. Earmuffs, eyemuffs. Get out of the room.
Eyemuffs.
Like, that would have been one of those things that maybe, you know what, though? I do remember watching Austin Powers at like 8 years old, and those jokes went over my fucking head.
And honestly, it was such a joy, and
I love that.
Probably influenced my entire life.
My sister,
comedically,
my sister
for comedic jokes,
1,000,000%. My sister saw fucking Goldmember in theaters with me and my cousin.
Yeah, you gotta.
At age 1, 2, 3, 4.
She was in diapers.
She was six. She was 6 years old.
Yeah, diapers.
And she said, "Fat beeper." That's like, that was her favorite thing. Fat bleeper. Okay,
the ADR in this.
Yeah,
was
we do gotta talk.
So funny. The ADR heckling.
Oh my God. Too much. There is such a thing as too much.
So there's a scene where, much like everyone else on the planet, Xena's mom also hates her.
Yeah.
And
I go
she's
relatable.
Very, very like. No. She's very
mom pulls a knife
sternly
on her.
And horrendously just ripping her to shreds, saying, basically, Xena, you're a piece of shit. Yeah. I'm not your mother, even. Don't actually even want you. I disown
love
you.
It.
Then we're getting ADR heckling from the people in the back, yeah, basically being like, yeah, Xena, you suck.
Okay, and that's the
get
actual
out of here, Xena.
That's the delivery too. Liv is not doing a bad job. Like, that was spot on. We have a group of people, but we have one man's voice doing ADR.
Yeah.
And they've layered this man, and so I'm sure they were like, just throw out a couple like heckling.
Just
lines.
Saying like random like things.
And and instead of going, let's pick and choose, they went, well, let's use all of them and not play them at once. Separated. Get away, Xena. Get out of here, Xena. Xena, we don't want you anymore. And for some reason, it's cranked up. It's like louder than even the people talking in the scene. I say, God, these towns are depressing. They start stoning Xena. I'm pissing.
Oh my God, they start stoning her. It's crazy.
It's biblical shit.
She kind of like dares them to do it, thinking clearly that no way
she thinks she can defeat
and
them.
And then they actually start throwing rocks at her, and you can tell she's really stunned, actually.
Yeah, and this is what I thought. Okay, so this is what I thought stoning was. Like, obviously stoning was done biblically with like massive rocks that would hurt you and like wound you. These are pebbles that's being thrown at her, and that is what I thought stoning was. So whenever I'd read it in Catholic school, I'd be like in the Bible, I'd be like, damn, that would take forever.
Okay, this was so hysterical. So she's like, guys, I don't know. All of a sudden, Draco's back.
Yeah,
We've got a fight happening.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, she's like walking on top of
this
people's
heads. This is the craziest visual that you'll ever see.
She's walking on top of people's heads.
They did a the floor is lava challenge.
Yes.
They said,
yes,
we can't touch. First person to touch the ground dies. And so they're fighting in the beams. And then they start destroying like the beams, the rafters that they're fighting in. And their only option is to stand on the heads and shoulders of the crowd to fight. But they're doing backflips and kicks. And
okay, she's like, at one point she does a spin on a guy's turban on his head.
Okay.
And her little foot like spins on it.
Yeah, it does. It's like a pirouette on it.
Okay, but this was the most hysterical ADR of the whole thing. So she's like doing this. Everyone's kind of like cheering, yelling.
This one.
And then all of a sudden you hear a guy go, come on, Xena, you can walk on me. And it's like, ew, this guy is a pervert. He wants to upskirt her. He's like, come on, Xena, walk on my head.
I can't describe how crazy it is too. Again, that isolated voice cranked all the way
the same
up.
Guy.
It's the same guy, the same day. I know exactly what his schedule was in the booth that day. He had a 4-hour session that the production company paid for, and he did all the ADR. Come on, Xena, walk on me. It's so fucking it's insane. It's so on the nose. It's so funny. Too much backflipping, not enough fighting. I say they're standing on random crowd's head. This is so fucking funny to watch. And then at the very end, her and her mom hug. And I say, I'm definitely confused about the relationship with the mom, but that fits for a mother-daughter relationship. Also, some of the clothes these people are wearing, my God. And that is the end of Xena.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was a really fun watch.
Thank God.
You know what?
Hallelujah.
Feminism has come a long way, number one. Number two, I will say, if Xena was the beginnings of a lot of the shows we do know and love now,
we must thank, we must praise. Oh my God, is that from Abercrombie and Fitch?
What, the sweater?
Your sweatshirt?
No.
Is it Jets?
The New York Jets. It's from, I don't know what sport that is, and it is from.
Are you sure it's not from Abercrombie and Fitch?
No.
Because I wanted that exact one from Abercrombie and
Fitch. It's from Ireland.
Ireland.
Oh. It's from Ireland a year ago.
Why New York Jets from Ireland?
I don't know. But it was the one that had fleece in it from a store called Penny's.
Oh, I love it.
I know. I also bought a really sick sweater there, too, that I haven't seen in a long time. But that's neither here nor there. Well, thanks for listening. That was Xena. It is a really fun watch. Like, if you are kind of just like wanting to watch something with kind of stomach inducing aesthetic,
yeah,
it is. It was funny. Like, the
don't do it on an empty stomach. The
fighting on heads was funny.
You'll be prone to nausea.
It was very funny. Anyways, that's gonna do it for us. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram, follow us on TikTok. Oh fuck, I have to re-download TikTok to check for 31 and 13. Oops. And you also can follow us individually. I'm Maddie Foley, that's Liv Collect. And we don't have a sign off for this show, but if we did, I think mine would be just come on Xena, walk on my head.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening. Thanks for sticking with us. And hey, if you're having a hard time this week, just remember, didn't lead into it properly. Come on, Xena, walk on my head.
Walk on my head.
Come on, Xena, walk on my head. See you later. Bye.
Bye.